Hello, I am James from the Technical Blog of James, and this is part 4 in my Puppet Cluster screencast demo. I hope you're enjoying it so far. I actually have some bad news. I've accidentally deleted part 2 because it seems that doing screencasts and not deleting them on GNU Linux is not trivial. I'm actually using the GTK Record My Desktop app because the GNOME Shell plugin doesn't seem to record sound, and I can't really find a better way. So I'm going to have to actually go back and record part 2 again and sort of fake it, but all the steps and all the stuff should match, except, of course, the clock, which will seem to have gone back in time, so forgive me for that. In any case, in part 4, I'm going to show you where we left off. So, just to remind you, I'm going to run a VS, or a Vagrant status. And once Vagrant wakes up, you'll see that I have 5 machines provisioned, the 1 to 4, which are the Gluster Annex hosts, and the 5th, which is the first one that I made in part 1, which is the Puppet server. Now, to show you a little bit more what's going on, you can use the vcssh command, which is a clustered SSH front-end for Vagrant that I've built. I'm going to use screen, because I like being inside screen sessions on the machines, but that's optional. And root at annex 1 to 4, which makes it easy to run. And there you have it. Now, just to show you, if I were to kill this and start it again, you'll see that the second time I run it, it actually loads very quickly. And that's because the delay you saw was the vcssh command talking to Vagrant and asking it for information on which ports and so on to connect to. But that information gets cached for about 5 minutes or whatever you configure. And the second time, as you see, it's blazingly fast. For information on how this actually works, you can actually check out my Vagrant Clustered SSH and Screen article, where I show you how all of this works, including all of the code, and it's all open source, and you can all easily download it and use it, whether you're using Vagrant with Fedora and Vagrant Libvirt or not. So, back to these machines. As you'll see, I have one cluster volume, which is called Puppet by default, but it's entirely up to you what you call it. And this was previous running of the machine, looking at the output. Now, just to show you, by default, I wanted to store the volume, the brick, on the VM itself. And that actually uses the var lib puppet temp cluster data directory. Now, this is just scratch space, but it's useful because for testing something, it doesn't matter if the brick is on a separate partition or a separate drive. And each volume will by default get something in here, but as you can see, there's nothing in here except for the .clusterfs directory. Now we're going to go back to Vagrant. Let's make a new tab. Again, we're working in the slash temp directory because since this is so easy to provision and reprovision, it doesn't matter if it all gets wiped. Now, obviously the code that I work on is in a different directory, but as you'll remember from part 1, I cloned into this directory. Now, all that I have to do is build the cluster clients so that I can access these properly. If you wanted to, you could just mount on the Puppet server as a cluster client, or from one of the other Annex hosts, but to make it nice and clean and so that we can build many clients, we're just going to mount from the separate clients that Vagrant has set up for us. So I need to do a Vagrant up client 1 and 2, and we'll do it in parallel, in series with the no parallel option so that it's a little cleaner and you can see what's going on. We'll time the whole command, And just so that we can avoid a possible bug in your version of Vagrant, we'll start by keeping the sudo cache warm. Now, as you can see, this is building the Vagrant machines, just like the previous ones, except this time it's the clients. It uses the same base box, which is a CentOS-6 base box that I've created, and it takes a few minutes for each machine. On the right, we can actually sneak a peek at the Vagrant machines getting created. You'll see that client one is booting up. Once the Vagrant libvirt provider can talk to the machine over SSH, it starts running some SSH commands, which actually use Puppet to set etc/hosts for DNS, as mentioned. This just keeps our setup straightforward and simple. And then over here, it talks to the Puppet server, says, "Puppet server, I'd like to build myself." And as for the other machines, the clients are also managed and built with Puppet. This is Puppet running the initial sync, which syncs all the facts and functions that are needed to each individual machine. And here's the Puppet run. The facts get sent to the server. The server compiles them, which we can see as most likely this little blip here. And then it gets run on the client itself. Over here, it's a very simple machine. I haven't configured anything except for the MOTD and a mount. And that mount, first notice that the fuse module needs to be mod probed, so that happens. It then will make a directory and mount the cluster volume. As you'll see here, it needs to manage repositories for installing the Puppet code itself. As you just saw by, I'll scroll up so you can see it. The GlusterFS packages get installed, and right here, the mount happens. This is going to go on and provision the second machine. While we're waiting for that to happen, we can actually open up another terminal. Now, I need to be in the working directory or one of the subdirectories of this cluster, otherwise Vagrant won't know which machines to connect to. And this time I'm just going to use the local vscreen root at client one command to open up a screen session on the client. And I can run mount to see what's happening. You'll see that annex.example.com was used as the cluster server, and /puppet is the volume, and this was mounted on /mount/cluster/puppet, which we'll change into. And there seems to be nothing there. So just first of all, I'm going to tell you what this annex.example.com is. This is actually the virtual IP that was used, and the cool thing about this is that if one of the cluster hosts is down, that virtual IP will move to another host in the cluster, and as long as there's a sufficiently big cluster pool for the volume to stay up, which is what Gluster provides, which is a highly available storage pool, there will always be that at least one server available to answer the client's request for the mounting. Now, that was kind of a long sentence, so basically the thing to know is that you always request the mount from a special IP address, which has a host name, in this case Annex, and that just makes it easier to always get a mount. Now, let's just make some files. Let's make touch file 1 to 100 on the client, And as you'll see, we got lots of clients made, lots of files made. And if we go back to our clustered setup, bring this into the foreground. And again, the screen option was really useful because I killed it and I'm back to where I started. You'll see that there's approximately 50 files on each machine. You'll see that these first two, Annex 1 and Annex 2, both have 48, and these second two, Annex 3 and Annex 4, both have 56. Now, how does this make sense since we made about 100 files? Well, from how Gluster works, this is a distributed replicated setup. So that means that half the files approximately will get put on one pair of servers. The pair is because it replicates times two, so that if one of those machines would die, there's still another copy. And it distributes, which is it splits the entire pool of storage into multiple servers. Now in this case that number is also two because we only built four hosts, but if we had built eight hosts, then we would expect approximately a quarter of the files here, that same quarter here, and so on. Now it's not exactly 25 or 50 or whatever the number is, but it's approximately that. And that is client one. Just to show you, client two is also being built. Now, this covers most of the information about the client, and there's a bit more to tell you, but I think I'm going to split that into one last screencast, which might be a little bit more technical, but we'll show you some code and show you about what's going on. Have fun playing with the setup. Feel free to destroy hosts at random, to rebuild clients, and hopefully this was clear. Hopefully you enjoy it. If you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you very much for watching. If you have any questions, look on the technical blog of James, where I'll try and publish articles about this. And I hope you enjoyed it. Thank you.